Hello, supportive viewers, and welcome to Science and Spirituality. Today we present the second part of our two-part program, The Moon, a Mystery Waiting to be Revealed. From time immemorial, the moon has sparked adoration and curiosity from humankind. In many cultures, the moon is a symbol of a mother who silently cares for us from afar. This year marks the 40th anniversary of the first steps on the moon, which were taken on July 20, 1969, by American astronaut Neil Armstrong during the Apollo 11 mission. Joining us once again to provide their expert perspectives on our natural satellite will be Ivan Semenuk and Dr. Alan Binder. Ivan Semenuk is a science journalist in residence at the Dunlap Institute for Astronomy and Astrophysics at the University of Toronto, Canada.
The outcome of the moon landing, I think, elevated everybody around the world. It had an impact that went beyond the kind of political, economic considerations of the time. In a sense, the moon landing transcended its time because it stands as this remarkable achievement, and it also seems to stand for the idea of the human spirit reaching out.
Apollo 11's lunar exploration revealed many secrets of the moon. However, there are many more waiting to be discovered by humanity. Dr. Alan Binder was involved in the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, or NASA's, next project in moon exploration, following the end of the Apollo program. He is a renowned lunar and planetary scientist with over 40 years of experience working with the NASA and European space programs. He is the founder and director of the Lunar Research Institute and was the principal investigator for the Lunar Prospector mission, which mapped the moon using a small unmanned spacecraft from a low polar orbit. Dr. Binder has written a book about the mission entitled Lunar Prospector, Against All Odds.
My mission, Lunar Prospector, was the first NASA mission to go to the moon since Apollo.
The main purpose of the Lunar Prospector mission was to draw a complete map of the moon in various aspects.
We've never had a complete magnetic map of the moon, the composition, and all those things. We had never really done that for that time. So in late 1988, a number of us got together from diverse groups. Most of us were in the Johnson Space Center area, and were engineers or scientists like myself. And I defined the program as a simple spinning satellite that would do a series of measurements and completely map the moon in terms of its composition.
At the time, Dr. Binder and his companions also hoped that the mission could demonstrate that there was water on the moon.
We know that water is brought to the moon by comets. As you probably know, comets are really big ice balls, and as such, when they hit the moon, there's water vapor released. Most of it just escapes into space. But some of it will move around and get trapped in these cold traps. And so there was the suggestion that there might be, you know, billions of tons of water as frozen ice in these craters. So we wanted to look for that.
With funding from NASA, 10 years later, the Lunar Prospector finally headed to the moon.
It was launched in January of 1998. We went into orbit. I had basically a perfect mission for mapping the moon for a year. We got an extended mission. The initial orbit was at 100 kilometers altitude, a circular orbit. Went over the poles. We mapped every bit of the moon, front side, far side, everything. And then I had the extended mission, and we dropped down to just 30 kilometers. Now, an orbit is never circular. And it's always slightly elliptical, and the lunar gravity changes that all the time. So sometimes we were within 6, 7, 8, 9 kilometers of the surface of the moon. And then at the end of the mission, we impacted near the South Pole. We had found the evidence they were looking for that suggested there's water ice there.
Recently, scientists have concluded that there is water on the moon, mainly present at the surface and the poles. The findings were announced at a September 24, 2009 news conference held by the National Aeronautics and Space Administration. The researchers involved, led by Dr. Carl Peters of Brown University, USA, said that 1 ton of material from the moon's surface could hold as much as a liter of water. the conclusions were drawn based on data from three different space probes: India's Chandrayaan-1 and the United States' Deep Impact and Cassini spacecraft, all of which used spectrographic analysis from the light reflected from the moon, rather than actual examination of the moon's soil to determine its composition. The source of the moisture is unclear, with some scientists theorizing that comets are the source, and another possibility being the solar wind from the sun creating water when it comes into contact with the lunar surface. When we return, we will feature more from our interviews with Ivan Semenuk and Dr. Alan Binder regarding our neighbor, the moon. Please stay tuned to Supreme Master Television. Welcome back to Science and Spirituality. In commemoration of this year being the 40th anniversary of humankind's first steps on the moon, we are examining some of the past, present, and possible future lunar missions. Although the previously mentioned Lunar Prospector mission did not find signs of water on the moon, it did inspire further lunar exploration.
As you probably know, LaCrosse, NASA has just sent an orbiter, which is orbiting the moon as we speak, taking high-resolution photographs, and I believe on my birthday, October 9th, they are going to crash the second vehicle into a crater near the South Pole. Now, this is, you know, a big spacecraft. It's very heavy, and it's coming in at a very high angle, and, you know, they've designed this to really work.
Scientists hope that the Lunar Crater Observation and Sensing Satellite will shed further light on the origin of the water on the moon. What does water on the moon mean for future space exploration?
It's very expensive to get things to the moon, and water is relatively heavy. The other thing that we always say is that once you have water, you can break it down into hydrogen and oxygen, which are the best chemical fuels for rockets. And so you all of a sudden have fuel where you're going, and you don't have to take it all with you.
We asked Ivan Semenuk about the prospects of humans returning to the moon once again.
I think ever since the Apollo program, people have wondered about returning to the moon. People have wondered, could humans spend more time on the moon? There is certainly now an objective in the U.S. space program to return people to the moon. It seems as though China is interested in sending human astronauts to the moon. My crystal ball is telling me that there will be future missions to the moon, but that we will not see very many people on the moon in the near term. The reason is the moon is very close. We've seen that it's possible to put humans on the moon, but it's also possible to put robots on the moon. Other places in space are so far away, there's a significant signal delay in the radio communications. With the moon, the delay is only about 1 second. It's a little bit like a satellite phone conversation. You know, you're speaking to someone, there's a slight delay. I mean, if you were speaking to someone on Mars, the delay would be 20 minutes at least, and then you get an answer back. But with the moon, it's close enough that you could actually land a robot and operate it by remote control. So I think in the future we might see more efforts in that direction, to have different probes landing on the moon or orbiting around the moon, exploring it, surveying it.
Dr. Binder believes that given the composition of the lunar soil, the source material for constructing a permanent base on the moon exists.
There's iron. There's aluminum, there's magnesium, there's titanium. These are all construction materials. I mean, if you look at any building on Earth, what's it made out of? Those things. So we know that we have those resources that we can use on the moon in terms of expanding any base that we start. A base will have to start with materials brought from the Earth, of course. Mm-hmm. But once you get some equipment up there and start processing the lunar materials, then you can start to build the base bigger and bigger and bigger.
Dr. Binder also envisions that in the future, the relationship between the moon and the Earth will become much closer in many respects.
You'll be able to use those resources to build equipment to go on, to spread humanity onto Mars and elsewhere in the solar system and beyond. And you can use those materials to come back to Earth orbit, build factories in Earth orbit. Now, you may recall that in the shuttle and in the space station, there was a lot of experimentation on space manufacturing, because you can make things in space with no gravity and so forth a lot better than you can on Earth. It also has the advantage, if you do all your heavy industry in orbit, there's no pollution. There's nothing going into the air, there's nothing going into the water, etc. So the idea is that you could have space factories in Earth orbit, bring the raw materials from the moon, or perhaps partially finished products, and then make them into something that is valuable enough and small enough that it is worthwhile to bring it down to Earth's surface, and that would become part of our economy. So I could envision in the future that on your table there would be equipment or maybe dishes or something, which would be from lunar materials. And so you can use lunar materials for the moon, for going out, and for the Earth coming back.
The announcement of finding water on the moon is leading many to wonder what other secrets are yet to be discovered. To be sure, future exploration of this heavenly body looks promising. We would like to convey our sincere appreciation to Dr. Alan Binder and Ivan Semenuk for sharing their insights about the moon, and wish them both the very best in their future endeavors. For more information, please visit Ivan Semenuk, www.di.utoronto.ca. Dr. Alan Binder, www.lunar-research-institute.org. Dr. Binder's book, Lunar Prospector, Against All Odds, is available online at Amazon.com. Thank you for joining us on today's episode of Science and Spirituality. Up next is Words of Wisdom following noteworthy news. May we all reach for the moon and beyond.
For more details, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/SS.